I was just thinking about this, that this show was out when Coolio was still like a hardcore gangster rapper.
This is before Coolio was in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
Coolio was in the kitchen?
He has his own like
yeah, YouTube Coolio in the kitchen. Show.
Holy shit.
Cooking with Coolio.
We actually saw, were you with me when we saw Coolio in Vegas?
No, I was not.
Oh,
there.
Man.
Damn.
That's right. It was another Vegas trip. Damn. I actually saw Coolio in a CVS in Las Vegas.
Was he working there?
I was surprised that he was performing.
He checked me out. He signed me up for the care card.
Yep.
He's got a customer for life.
Hey, dog, we got some good pharmaceuticals over in this corner, dog.
No, it's really funny because I never would have recognized him except for the fact that he was wearing a
Coolio shirt.
Just like a traditional baseball hat. But had holes cut out where his hair was still sticking out.
Oh, no.
So, still rocking the braids, but, like, at this point in his life, there's maybe, like, a fourth of what he had back in the heyday.
That is sad.
He was with a pretty attractive woman, though. So, you know, keep it going, Coolio.
Coolio's still cooking,
then.
All you
need is money.
Apparently.
For that to be relative. Was he the one that was in like Halloween H2O?
He probably was.
I feel like he was.
Yeah. That or LL Cool J. I know LL
No,
LL
it wasn't
cool
LL Cool J.
Was, he was a security. No, Busta Rhymes was a security guard.
Busta
I think
Rhymes?
That's who it was.
Busta?
In that. That's
Busta
who it was.
Bust?
That. But we're talking about, yeah, Kenan and Kel though, the theme song, they're on Nickelodeon and they pick a motherfucking gangster to do their song.
Gangster.
Good job.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the fact that you actually got like, an actual recording artist to do the opening theme for a cable kids show.
Yeah,
that's just how good Kenan and Kel was.
Yeah.
That show was awesome.
I wonder if Coolio got paid in orange soda.
Ooh, Kel likes orange soda.
Kel also
liked
a lot of crack
orange
after.
Soda.
Yeah.
Orange soda and crack.
Question for you guys. Who do you think is actually more famous today? Coolio or Kel?
I think it's Kel. Because he's now back on Nickelodeon.
Is he?
Is he?
In like a new show. I think it's called like Game Shakers or something. And it's about these kids that develop like an app video game that made a ton of money and they open their own like video game business.
Oh.
And he's like their angel hip hop investor.
Oh. I remember it was probably about 10 years ago I flicked on Nickelodeon and they had this show where they had this like puppet on there. This like black puppet.
You're talking about Cousin Skeeter.
For a second, I thought that was a puppet Kel.
No.
Okay, that's. I mean,
that was Bill Bellamy. That was a puppet Bill Bellamy.
Oh yeah, that's where that. They treated the puppet like
it was just
a real like
yeah.
He was a real kid.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just short kid.
Yeah. That was
made
a weird
out
show.
Of.
It was just for physical comedy, is why he was a puppet.
Oh, so they could throw him out of windows
and
stuff.
And shit, yeah. They
right.
threw
okay.
him all
okay.
over the place.
What do you think
Which
about
is kind of offensive to little people, I feel.
Yeah.
But he was just a kid. He was supposed to be little.
He was supposed to be 15 or something.
Oh.
What if his name is Kel Bellamy? He's Bellamy's kid.
His name was Skeeter. So.
Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about Kel. God damn it, Dan.
No,
God,
my favorite place was turning on, like, weekday local TV and seeing Kel host Dance 360, which was this janky like dance competition every week where it was basically like a crowd of people in a circle, different levels, they all dance, and Kel would pick a bunch of people to compete, like four people, and they get scored battling each other for like a half hour. Taggy man, that's where that came from.
Really?
Because if you were battling, you would tag each other in and out. So like,
so it was like professional wrestling meets hip hop dancing.
A little bit. And
on a TV show.
So ghetto.
Yeah. Was that the one where they were in the rafters looking down on them?
Yeah, kind of.
I think I do remember that actually.
Was that when all those dance movies came out? Like,
it was
Step
very
It Up,
popular.
And
step,
you got
step
served.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got served. It was
Stomp
that
the Yard.
Well, it's not the yard. That's different.
One and two. Maybe three.
I mean, my favorite part of Stomp the Yard has always been when Chris Brown dies.
Chris Brown dies in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
I gotta watch it.
First
yeah,
minutes,
we gotta
man.
Watch that movie. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Kenan and Kel. and then Love of Orange Soda. You know that they, Kel and Keenan, did not have like any communication for 10 years, till this week, apparently.
Our generations, Simon and Garfunkel.
That is a great comparison.
I love that comparison. Yeah, as you could say, because you know, as we mentioned, Kel got into some things that Keenan didn't like, and so as Keenan has been on SNL for the better half of this decade, and
yeah.
And now I think he's moving towards getting his own sitcom on NBC. That's why he's left Saturday Night Live. And Kel, like I mentioned, back on Nickelodeon. They were on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
I do really appreciate Jimmy Fallon's touch of nostalgia that he brings to his show.
Yeah.
It's been really cool to see. And even though he's a little bit older than us, like, you obviously can tell that, you know, like the mid-80s and 90s were definitely a soft spot for him and, you know, for our generation. And, you know, like, kids that are watching it now, like college kids, are like, who the fuck are these old black dudes? Oh, it's that guy from SNL and some strung out other dude. Who the hell's Keenan and Kel?
They did the Good Burger sketch, which was amazing. Right.
You can tell, too, what's cool about Jimmy Fallon, and I think this is something that's always I've always appreciated about him, is you can tell that he listens to his writing staff. And he's probably got a writing staff now that is kids our age that just grew up watching this stuff. So they're like, dude, Jimmy, we got a great idea. We got a great idea. How about we do this? And he has no ego. He'll do whatever they kind of say, and you've always seen it work out in his favor. So,
yeah, Jimmy Fallon's show is just a good time. I just recently, like, got caught in a wormhole and started watching a bunch of his clips. So I saw Joseph Gordon-Levitt recently come on, and they were singing "Bitch Better Have My Money," but as a like a cappella troupe. I saw, I think it was Selena Gomez or Ariana Grande. I don't know.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, where she was doing the impression wheel.
That
dude,
was great.
She killed it. Her Celine Dion was, like, perfect. I was blown away. But, you know, he just does, like, that fun, goofy shit that's really entertaining to watch. And he gets a lot of these celebrities kind of, like, out of their persona of, like, super cool, hip, and just kind of, you know, brings them down to earth so that normal people watching can relate to him.
Yeah, and Brian and I had friends that actually, they won the Amazing Race. They went on Jimmy Fallon, and from what they can attest to, he is 100% true to that character that he is on that show. I mean, he is the most humble guy. He runs into the green room of every guest and just tells them how excited he is to have them on his show. And I mean, it's just something that you don't really hear about. I mean, I heard Letterman was a dick his entire career. And you just hear, like, a 180 version of that, and you're like, wow, it's nice to see somebody successful on TV actually that's humble about their success.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned this when we talked about Colbert's debut a couple weeks ago. It is kind of like the direction where late night's going with these new hosts. And a comparison to Fallon is Colbert, who kind of still holds his Colbert show. They still bring segments. They keep it very true without his, like, over-the-top character. And his interviews have been very different, very in-depth, very journalistic, which I like, because you can have goofy with Fallon and have serious with Colbert. But this whole week on Colbert has been all Pope-related
Pope-a-palooza.
Jokes. Pope-a-palooza.
Pope-a-palooza.
Because the Pope is on American
If you haven't
Soul.
Heard.
Yeah.
If you haven't opened up your internet browser or turned on any sort of news program.
We do have our fans in the UK or Sierra Leone that may not know.
That's true.
You know, I feel like that's true. Like, this whole internet browser, I feel like the Catholic Church actually, like, sponsored so many websites this week. Because, I go on Yahoo and I just see, like, banners almost where I'm like, "The Pope, yeah, I get it. The fucking Pope is here. Yes, I get it. I've seen it 1,000 times."
I think it's a little different with Pope Francis because, I mean,
he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool cat.
Yeah, he's the first.
He's got a Twitter.
Yeah, right? he's just on the level. Like, it's so refreshing to have a person in power that's traditionally just been, like, so conservative and so stuck to, you know, just previous ideologies.
Detached from reality.
Yeah, just completely detached from reality. And you get Pope Francis coming in like, hey, there's real issues going on. I don't care if, you know, I'm touched by God or not. Like, people are suffering. Shit's going on. We got to talk about it.
I mean, John Paul II was cool. Everybody loved John Paul II. And then you had the Pope that Nazi background or whatever. That kind of hurt. There's a whole reason why he's like the first one to step down. Yeah.
I think that was Benedict.
Pope Benedict, because then it comes out that like he had like
he was
his
a Hitler youth,
family,
I remember.
Yeah, something ties to Nazi Germany. That's never good. Like, and I'm pretty sure somebody figured that out by like just going on Ancestry.com and looking him up, because apparently that's what Ancestry.com tells you is if you're white, there's a 50-50% chance somehow you're related to something Hitler did.
Well, if you look evil too,
yeah,
like that Benedict,
he looked
like
he looked like Emperor Palpatine.
Yes,
yeah,
100% identical. Sure. He looked like a Sith Lord.
Yeah, but Francis, I mean,
waiting for lightning bolts to shoot out of his fingernails.
I think the biggest part about Pope Francis that I admire is his don't give a fuck approach, because especially he had an address this week once he got to the States. In Washington at the mall, right next to Obama, and talked about climate change and how that's a real problem. And then you have asinine Republican senators who then said they were going to boycott his address to Congress because they did not agree with him taking a stance on climate change and that he could fight climate change on his own time. Which I'm pretty sure as the Pope, you are never not the Pope. Like,
well,
your own time is Pope time.
Right. Well, I think that's just a perfect snapshot of just politics in general right now. Like, these guys are just so set and cemented in their, you know, their party's beliefs for whatever reason. I don't think most of the time it's because they believe it. I think
they're paid to be a puppet.
Exactly. They're either paid, they have interest, they have voters, like, you know, they have an agenda that they have to follow. And it just sucks because it just completely removes common sense from these elected officials. And you have to sit there and just scratch your head like, we voted these people in to run this country, to, you know, make the United States a better place, and they can't even set aside their beliefs to listen to the Pope talk for, you know, like an hour or whatever. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, when you think about it too, like, that's what you're tapping on, is they are so nonsensical with some of these beliefs because they're paid to do it 24% of the time, and they have to play this character, and it's like, no, like, that's not what we got you in there for. Like, please save us from this. And you're just seeing this continually throughout this week where the Pope is speaking up about climate change, about various things, and the politicians are just not having it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to have a discussion about this, even if I disagree with you, so I'm just going to say fuck you and not show up.
It's, yeah.
It's like what a child does, you know?
It's very, very frustrating to watch.
And I think you can tell that sometimes these are intelligent people who just get caught in having to answer to lobbyists and higher influential powers.
That's what I'd say, because it's not constituents. They're not serving their constituents at all. It's lobbyists, it's, you know, political action committees, it's things like that. It's the very high dollar that's packing the pocket.
I
constituents are doing that.
That's part of the reason John Boehner, Speaker of the House, stepped down because he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, if anything is a clear, like, message of how he felt about it, this is him this week celebrating stepping down. At his resignation press conference, he's saying zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll admit it too, I'm conservative. John Boehner, I've never liked. I have never liked him. He's always been this, I'd say, like, this just dried up turd in the system that continues to block everything that's kind of going through. Whether it's, you know, I mean, he's a frustrating person to watch. What we were talking about earlier, he'll completely ignore reality to push an agenda, and he's been one of the loudest people to do it in the last few years. So,
and I mean, and we don't want to turn this into a, you know, a political podcast, but whether or not you agree with, you know, John Boehner's viewpoints or his agenda, I think you can appreciate the fact that he's had to deal with this cesspool of a system for a long time, and you can absolutely tell he's just so stoked to be done with it, you know? And I think anybody in his position would probably feel the same way, because it's, you know, just like we touched on, it's just a broken system right now, and, you know,
and that
hopefully it'll change, but I...
That is why I'm so thankful for South Park.
Yeah. Right?
Ooh, baby.
Because...
A little bit of laughs.
They, out of anyone, Matt and Trey, are creative and intelligent enough to just tear that shit to pieces.
And what's so great about their process now is that they can make shows so quickly, and they can make edits so quickly that they can almost, you know, make a show in real time. You know, things that happened a couple weeks ago, they can put into the next episode.
They have been so relevant these last... I would say the last... I don't know when that happened, because I think I dropped out on South Park, I'd say like 10 years ago. I just flat out stopped watching it. And then until like probably 4 or 5 years ago, it started becoming a really relevant satire of just stuff that had happened in the last week or so. And that's where they really hit the nail on the head, I think.
I think it's whenever they got down to the fact that they could make episodes in 7 days.
Yeah.
Because...
Which is a great documentary.
Yeah, the book of, it's when they released the Book of Mormon. Yeah.
And I think it was what I remember the most striking episode is almost 8 years ago now. It's the episode that was called About Last Night. And it was all about who won the presidential election between Barack Obama and John McClane. And that was just spot on amazing shit. And the election happened the day before their episode came out.
Mm-hmm. And I think with that, they had two episodes stacked.
I think they
up,
just
think,
kind of also just
launched.
Paid. I think they knew who was going to win.
Was that the. That was where it was like the Ocean's 11
yes,
subplot?
Where all this is just a huge distraction.
Right, right.
That. No way would John McCain be so spiteful, and no way would anyone ever pit Sarah Palin as a running mate, and, and all that shit. And I think since then, they kind of found a... Because they've always had a voice when it came to politics, when it came to just society, but I think they found maybe a more redefined way of doing it, and a way of targeting headlines, kind of like what we do on this podcast. Every week we kind of start with headlines. They've become more accustomed. And I think you can tell, like, two seasons ago, they figured out that they can't just keep making an episode where it's not, there's no continuity, because the last two seasons have had continuity where, like, shit from the previous episode finally affects what's going to happen the rest of the season.
Lord.
Oh, yes.
Lord.
Or PC Principal this season, right. Which is my favorite character.
That guy is... I haven't seen a character like that in South Park that has made me laugh harder in a long time. Trey and Matt, like, shout out to you guys. PC Principal, that whole shit, the first episode was some of the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. But no, I think, Dan, you're 1,000% right that they went from, you know, having their own storylines and incorporating current events or, you know, just like their political views into the show, and now what they're doing is reacting to current events and things that are going on, and then making the South Park story around that.
Yeah, because they always sit on like Bush, like, or like when it was like the Tower to Know, like the Tower to Heaven, and Weapons of Mass Destruction Heaven, or they took on celebrities all the time. They took on religious organizations like Scientology,
Mormons,
the Trapped in the Closet episode,
Church of Mormon,
Michael Jackson, Barbra Streisand.
Oh man, she got it. Streisand. She got
multiple times.
She got it bad.
And they shifted it to a more societal tone where it's larger picture and just not small battles. Like, and it's interesting now that they're kind of like cracking down on their own speech giving like morals of their episodes, and I'm interested to see where they go.
Yeah. Kyle's getting the bad treatment right now.
Dad, did you have dits on my friend's face? Did I check his privilege? Yes.
Did I check his privilege?
Speaking of dits.
Do they serve refreshments? Yes.
Speaking of dits, I think we have a dick of the week, right?
Oh, we certainly do.
Dick of the week!
Dick of the week! Dick of the week.
And I have not learned this dit's name because I have cared not to.
He's just too big of a dick.
But it is a young entrepreneur.
Can you even call him an entrepreneur?
I think you can call him a dick with a lot of money.
Yes.
Is okay. What you call him. This young
Martin Skrelly? Skrelli? Who gives a fuck?
Yes.
You're a dick.
He is the man who purchased a
pharmaceutical. Damn. Wow. Pharmaceutical.
You know, it's early here, and I'm struggling with my pronunciation today.
They specialize in flatulatory medication.
Who have sold for, what, 60 years?
60-year-old company.
Yeah, 60-year-old yes. company who has sold a very important medication for treatment for people with AIDS, which used to cost $13.50 a pill. Reasonable.
Yeah.
$13.50.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
For life-saving AIDS medication, I'd say that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. He bought it and then upped the price of a single pill to $750.
For our math wizards out there, that is a 5,000% increase. Literally overnight. As in, he bought the company on Monday and then implemented the price change on Tuesday.
That, I mean,
how do you feel about that, Brian?
I'm speechless. I am speechless about that. I can't. It is so frustrating. It boils me to the point where I don't even know what to say. The guy makes me want to punch him right through the face.
Here's my question to both of you. Bigger dick. Martin Dickface. Or Steve Reza Dickface.
Martin.
Martin is a huge dick. I would say Martin's actually a bigger dick than AIDS is. The AIDS virus. So, Martin, you can go fuck yourself, dude.
Gauntlet has been thrown. AIDS, please write to Brett Neese at Neese's Pieces on Twitter.
Oh, that's going to be nasty. That is going to be nasty.
Well, congratulations on winning our first Dick of the Week.
Yeah.
We had to make up this award for you, you piece of shit.
I hope you choke on a giant dick because you, sir, are one. I hope you, like, die in a really funny way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what karma would be is if he got AIDS.
Right. It's like if you got fucked to death by Mrs. Garrison. Well, no, Mr. Garrison.
Formerly Mrs.
Right.
Formerly Mr.
And somehow in the process got AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he in America?
Woo, 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 woo. By America, PC. Are you discounting?
PC police over here. Damn it.
Yes, he is American.
He's American.
Okay.
He is.
Would you expect this from anybody else? Maybe like a Russian...
That's
like,
what I was thinking.
Like terrorist leader in like a James Bond movie? That's the only other way.
This is a very James Bondish plot. When you think about it, it is like, what is it called? Despotism or something like that? You're like, you are taking away a very, very viable resource for people that need it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're essentially taking it away.
A James Bond plot in, with Quantum
of Solace.
It was
Quantum
of Solace
with water. He's doing this with AIDS medication.
Which is worse, this is only for people who are going to die.
Yeah.
Right. His justification for increasing the price is so that they could raise more money to continue research and, you know, come up with better medications, blah, blah, blah.
Because as a pharmaceutical company, you're not already making enough money for R&D.
Exactly.
That is asinine. You know, I want to see the ending to Quantum of Solace happen to this guy. I want to see them drive him out to the desert and leave him with a barrel of his AIDS medication. And that's it. And then, all
right. No, what did... No, they left him with...
oil.
They left him with oil. Antifreeze, right? Or was it oil?
It was oil, yeah. But, you know. I'll give him a break. He can have his AIDS medication. There you go. So, Martin, congratulations. You got our first award that we had to create because you are such a big piece of shit.
Yes.
Super huge. Mega dick.
Mega dick!
I think on that we're going to take a break.
Yeah, I think we're going to take a little break right here. Thanks for tuning in, and yeah, we'll see you on the flip side with Brian's movie review. And a few other things, right?
I think you get to have your video game chat.
Ooh, Metal Gear.
MGS5.
Hideo Kojima!
Fanboy, stay in your seats.
It's coming loud.
What about fangirls?
Fangirls, you're probably not listening. But if you are, stay in your seats as well.
Catch you on the flip side.
What's going on, everybody? It's Dan from your favorite podcast, Pop Not Soda. Thank you for joining us for our 30th episode. We are now as old as Brett and Brian. But I just wanted to let you guys know about a local steak shop here in San Diego called Pope Steaks. You can check them out on Facebook at Pope Steaks or Instagram at Pope Steaks. They got some new decks coming out. Looks like their website's currently under construction, but if you head to their Facebook, you can take a peek at their new deck coming out. It's going to have a hard top, soft bottom, two different deck styles, and three bop decks says they'll be available. The guy's Lance, he reached out to us, wanted us to give him a shout out, so here we are, promoting a local business in San Diego. So for all your skating needs, check out Pope Skates on Facebook and Instagram. And stay around for the second half of our episode.
Hey Brett, where's the adult vitamin? Saxophone once again means it's time for some movie reviews. This one in particular, Brian's Homeless movie reviews. And I know you just heated up that butterscotch bread pudding with the candied pecans that you got from Restaurant Week last night, but put that spoon down. It'll still be delicious when you return, because I'm about to talk about a movie. So this week, we have Creep on Slate. Creep is a movie starring Mark Duplass, who you might recognize from The League. He's been, you know, scattered in like a few other movies here and there, but probably most known for The League in a comedic performance. This, definitely not a comedic role. As the title of the movie would lead you to believe, it is pretty creepy. This movie, directed by Patrick Bryce, also stars in the movie. So the plot is that this videographer reaches out for this Craigslist ad, $1,000 for a day's work. Go meet this random dude up in the mountains. Not sure really, you know, what exactly it's going to entail.
Sounds like porn.
Yeah, you would think, right? And you know, like, he records himself on the drive up there, and he talks about what he thinks he's going to be recording, and you know, gets to the cabin, meets Mark Duplass, just right off the jumps, just like super weird, strange interaction. But you know, he's trapped for money. He needs the cash, so he you know, goes off on this hiking adventure with Mark Duplass, who gives him a backstory that he has come down with. Oh no! So he's diagnosed with cancer, beats cancer, and then they find a brain tumor. He's married, has a wife who is pregnant, and so he's recording this video for his unborn son, so that, you know, if he ends up dying in, you know, the next few months, because he's only given, you know, a few months to live, that his son at least would have a video of, like, seeing his dad just being himself. So they go off in the woods and, like, do all this shit, and it's just, you know, a little bit off the whole time. You don't, you know, something is not quite right, but, like, you can't put your finger on it. So the film does a good job of, you know, kind of, like, leaning you towards disbelief and then bringing you back to reality. So, like, it's a good blend of you know, trying to think what's going to happen next, them kind of reinforcing that, but then they're, you know, putting a layer on top of that where it kind of gets you thinking that, you know, something else is going on behind the scenes. So it's really hard to talk about the movie without giving a lot of, you know, spoilers away. But it's just a really creepy movie in general. The ending, which I really want to talk about a lot, I can't, because it's just a huge spoiler. But the film itself, very Blair Witch-esque, as in the entire movie is filmed through a handheld camera. And for the most part, it just follows around this main character who, you know, has gone on this film expedition. Again, I don't want to give away too much, because it's definitely going to, you know, ruin some of the twists and turns. But
now, are they setting the camera down and, like, watching each other, like, interact, or is it more of just him filming the creepy guy? Or
so it's both. Not only are there, you know, a lot of scenes where they're just, like, walking around, you know, filming handheld style, but then there's also scenes where they do sit down and they're having, like, interactions and, you know, confessionals, things like that.
Both characters in front.
Both characters, because Mark Duplass, you know, in the film is not only trying to, you know, record his story for his future kid, but then he's, like, also interested in this guy who is filming him, so he turns the camera around on him, you know, in some scenes, and starts to ask him questions, and, you know, you learn a little bit about the other side, and, you know, they have scenes where the camera's set down, and, like, they have interactions as well. So yeah, just all in all, really creepy, you know, definitely a thriller, pretty suspenseful, and I think you'll either like the ending a lot, or you might be on my side and really hate it, because in my opinion, it kind of takes away from a lot of the realism that is the movie, because, like I said, you know, it's Blair Witch style, so there's no fancy camera tricks. It's just a guy in a camera with another guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, you know, I would definitely say, if you are a fan of the thriller genre, to watch it. It's a pretty short movie. It's only like an hour and 15 minutes, so it's definitely not going to be a time suck. And it's pretty well paced. You know, the movie just gets up and going, and, you know, there's no real lulls in it. And again, there's like a few scenes throughout where, like, it gets pretty pretty deep and dark, yeah, and real creepy. So, you know, if you're into that stuff, definitely recommend it.
Do you feel like it should have been cut off about 15 minutes short? Like, it ran a little too long?
I don't think it should have been... I think it should have been cut off, like, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Before, you know, like, I think the final 2 minutes of the movie should have been cut off.
So it's not necessarily changing the ending. It's just where the ending went.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense.
And again, it's really hard to explain without, you know, detailing it more, but again, I obviously won't do that and ruin the movie. But yeah, I liked it because it was different. It was, again, really well paced, super creepy. Mark Duplass does just an awesome job because the character he plays is just like a total sociopath, and he does a really great job of bringing that character to life. And it's, you know, totally outside the realm of his character in The League, where he's just like a bro, you know. But again, for me, I just really didn't think the ending did the rest of the movie justice. So for that reason, I give Creep 2 out of 5 quarters. And I'd also like to recant my previous review of The Theory of Everything. I did realize, thinking about it, I was a little too harsh, which I also gave 2 out of 5 quarters. So I will put an asterisk on Theory of Everything, and I'm going to get an extra 24 minutes on the parking meter, and we'll give it one more quarter.
Ooh.
So Theory of Everything, I'm giving 3 out of 5 quarters.
Is that the first revised review?
It is the first revised review, and probably the last.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you want to hear that review, that was on last week's episode.
Yeah, episode 29, right before the Dirty 30. And, yeah, and then Creep, I'm giving 2 out of 5 quarters, you know, halfway to a double cheeseburger.
Yeah. Well, I liked it. I think Brian and I disagreed on the ending a little bit. I see where you're going, though, with it. I definitely think the ending, yeah, you cannot really say anything about it without giving anything away. I do think it cheapened a lot of the quality, realistic quality of what you were watching, like the thrills throughout the movie up to the end, and yeah, it kind of just sullied all of that after that. So, but yeah. Dan, have you seen Creep yet?
I have not.
Okay.
No, that is one movie I've not gotten around to.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so you can definitely check it out there. I'm sure it's probably on Amazon Prime, too.
I'll have to check it out.
You know what I watched it on? I watched it on my PlayStation, which has been getting dominated by one thing right now, and one thing only.
Porn.
Gay porn? Animal porn.
Another episode, guys. Metal Gear Solid 5. Hideo Kojima.
That's a new gay animal porn, right?
It is the new PlayStation game, Brian. Thank you very much. From Hideo Kojima. The guy just came out with it, I think about 3 weeks ago. First 10 out of 10 since Grand Theft Auto 5. It's hit universal acclaim everywhere. I would actually say I 100% agree with the critics on this. This game...
A perfect game. You're saying that this is a perfect video game.
Okay. I wouldn't...
Because that's what 10 out of 10 means.
That's what the critics say.
Okay, so I'll agree with the critics on their opinion about it being a spectacular 10 out of 10 game. I would not say that it's not flawed in places, though. There are some frustrating mechanics to it, but...
Are you sure that's not done on purpose?
It could very well be. Hideo Kojima is an insane man. Yeah, he's a very good
puppet master.
He is a very good puppet master. But when you see this game, I am not kidding you guys. If you've ever... So, I've been a fan of Metal Gear Solid before. I don't know if you guys have played it in the past, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very story-driven, and it follows one line. This is the first game, and when they were talking about it, too, they were saying it's going to be a sandbox. You're going to be pretty much able to do anything with any mission to be able to accomplish it.
So for those listeners who are not familiar with video game terminology, what do you mean by sandbox?
So sandbox is basically I don't really actually know the technical term, but it's basically you can do free play in the world. So it's like an open world mechanic where you have certain objectives to do, but the way that you accomplish these tasks, there are infinite possibilities on how to do it.
Yeah, my impression is that it always meant it's just like a... So you're given, you know, a world, like a literal sandbox with stuff in it, and then you can just go and play around and do whatever you want.
That's the perfect analogy to it. Because you can literally do anything.
Dan, yeah, our craft research
team... craft research team.
Defines a sandbox as a style of game in which minimal character limitations are placed on the gamer, allowing the gamer to roam and change a virtual world at will.
Yeah. And I would 100% agree with that. I mean, you can choose to do the missions at night. You can choose to do them during the day. If you're in a mission and you realize that, you know, it's not the right time of day to do it, you can wait. The time mechanic doesn't go that far long.
Hit that e-cig.
Yeah, he's got a cigar now, though. Because it's in the 80s now. So e-cigs weren't around.
No, yeah. E-cigs.
Yeah, he's old school cigar man. So, and this is... Solid Snake? No. I'm trying to remember which snake this is.
Is it a snake? Is he a snake?
It's Big Boss. That's who it is. Right, it's Big Boss. So, it's Big Boss prior to... And I think he's actually the dad of the snake from Metal Gear. The DNA or whatever came in. He's voiced by Kiefer Sutherland.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah. Does not have that much dialogue in it, but I'd say Kiefer Sutherland actually does a really good job with this. The one other person, though, that Brian will remember... Did you ever play Metal Gear Solid 1, Dan?
I did.
Okay. So you guys will both remember this. Revolver Ocelot
is in it.
And he's actually on your team in this one. And I don't know what actually happens, and I haven't gotten to that part. I'm only in Mission 6, so, you know, bear with me on the review. But Revolver Ocelot is in it. He's on your side, and he's voiced by none other but Troy Baker, the guy that did Booker from Bioshock Infinite.
He's the, for those of you not familiar, it's like, this guy's like the Brad Pitt of video game voices.
He's the man.
He's the guy right now.
He did the main guy from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. He did Joel.
Soap?
Last of Us.
Was he Soap or was he, the captain?
He was the young main guy.
Soap.
Yeah, Soap.
Oh, in,
Advanced Warfare.
In Call of Duty.
Yeah. He was not Kevin Spacey. Did not play Kevin Spacey. But I would not doubt that Troy Baker could play Kevin Spacey, probably better than Kevin Spacey did in that video game. But back to Metal Gear Solid 5, though. It's a great game. I would recommend it to anybody. Might want to... I mean, I'd say it's worth $60. They've got online player gameplay coming out. I haven't tested it out. It's coming out, I guess, in the next month, but people have already been doing the beta, and the thing is... looking incredible. I mean, I think it's like 18 on 18 or something like that, but it's going to be a great game, even more open than what it currently is. And Hideo Kojima, good send-off, man, because this is your final game with Metal Gear. Which,
is it really?
Is not going back to Konami. Yeah. He is not going... They had a very, very toxic falling out.
He'll take like all of his, you know, skills and everything he's done from Metal Gear into something else.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not done making video games, but he just is done with
Konami.
Metal Gear. Yeah.
Yeah, and Konami. Because that's the Silent Hills project. Mm. He was working with Guillermo del Toro on that. And then I think that was with Konami too.
Yeah.
But this thing was such a toxic relationship with Kojima's team and Konami. Because Konami's making like toys now. They don't make video games anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So...
this has literally been the only lifeblood.
What about Silent Hills? Isn't that supposed to come out soon?
No, they canceled that entire project. Norman Reedus Norman Reedus is no longer on it. It's pulled off of the PlayStation Store. You can't even download it off there. Yeah. Yeah, it's for legal reasons, too. Like, it's this huge thing. Guillermo del Toro actually really wants to work with Kojima on something else. But I'm really interested to see where Kojima's going to go with this, because... Man, the guy made an incredible game.
Yeah, the guy is just such an unbelievable architect, not only of, you know, like, a world, because he literally invented the world of Metal Gear and has created this huge fan base that continues to increase its following with all of his new games. But he's also always on just the next step of a video game evolution, I think. So, you know, with the exception of Grand Theft Auto, which, you know, Rockstar, you guys are fucking rock stars.
Yeah.
I would say next to that group, his group, you know, maybe Naughty Dog is in that conversation as well. So, you know, maybe those three are just well head and shoulders above any other developers out there because they get it. They listen to their players and they do a great job of, you know, like melding what they think players will like because they obviously have to like advance technology and make it more interesting and creative, but then also honing in on, you know, what the players are telling them and incorporating that as well.
Yeah, and when you, and if I'm not mistaken too, I think like Rockstar has a team that's like 10 times the size of Kojima's team too. Yeah. So you actually see what Metal, like what they produce on a Metal Gear product, and you're like, my God, man, for 10 times as less people, like this is incredible that you guys are making such a flawless product. And what's good about it too was, I forgot to mention this too, is Kojima's still doing that meta stuff in his games that was what we grew up with. Like, do you remember fighting Psycho Mantis in the first one where you have
to unplug your controller?
Yep.
Just certain things like that. I will not give it away. But he does things in this game where you're like, my God, man, you just waited for technology to get to this point, and you wanted to do this your entire time. And it's a wink to the gamer because he knows the people that are playing his games. And, I mean, hats off to you, Kojima, because you made a great game, man. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great way to go out.
So Metal Gear Solid 5, if you want to get in contact with us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Hey, Kojima. I mean,
we're here for you.
We plugged you pretty hard, bro.
Dude, if you're not listening, you should
what
be
are
listening.
You doing?
Come on.
Real quick, I think we're winding down here, but I have a question for you guys. I want rapid reactions. It was announced about 2 days ago, Hayden Christensen is returning to the Star Wars franchise
for
episode 8.
What? And Rogue One.
What?
In the Darth Vader character.
Okay.
What are your feelings?
Well, I think my exaltation is representative of my feelings. I honestly think
Empire Strikes Back.
I think he and the Jar Jar Binks character ruined episodes 1 through 3. Was Jar Jar Binks? Yeah, Jar Jar Binks was in episode 1.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he was in the Clone Wars.
He doesn't really get to talk. He's a major character in one.
They're both shitty characters that don't belong
make him
in the Star
chewy.
Wars universe.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They tried to make him chewy in episode 1.
So next to Jar Jar Binks' just steaming pile, Hayden Christensen is just so bad. He's just so terrible. And I can't believe that they're bringing him back.
I think I like to hope that it was more George Lucas's directing and script writing, because Natalie Portman was just as bad in those three episodes. The only person that was good was fucking
Ewan
and Sam Jatz. Because even we were talking about Dooku is not even that good.
Oh my God. I'm just so upset right now. Thanks, Dan. You ruined my
Brett,
my day.
Reaction to Hayden Christensen.
You know, that guy can't act his way out of a fucking paper bag. And I think even
Shattered
with...
Glass
which is actually his next movie.
God, I hope.
Hayden Christensen starring in
Put him in a concrete paper bag and throw him to the bottom of the fucking sea.
He was good in Takers.
I haven't
in
seen
Takers?
That. I haven't seen... What is that movie?
You ever seen Takers?
No. I have seen Takers. Unfortunately, I have seen Takers.
Paul Walker, T.I., Chris Brown.
Shitty.
Hayden Christensen.
You're losing me
Matt
on this
Dillon.
Cast. You are losing me on this cast.
Paul Walker.
Losing me on this cast, yeah. No, for me, isn't the second guy from the guy that directed Looper is doing the second movie for Star Wars too, right?
Did they announce that?
I think
it
he's
is, yeah.
I think he's slated
Which
to do the second
good.
Movie. He's great. he's going to have a pain in the ass time trying to direct Hayden Christensen.
But think, I think he's only going to be there for like a scene. You have to remember this. Like, he's dead.
Yeah.
So, and if he comes back, it's him being voiced by James Earl Jones.
Actually, how are they going to bring him back?
You know, he's with the Force. So I'm thinking it could be a flashback. It could be him communicating with Luke.
I'm thinking it has something to do with Reaven.
It could be like any of that. Like, he finds some shit recorded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like a Leia type message.
Anything like that is how he's going to be in episode 8. In Rogue One, he's going to be freaking
Kylo Ren. That's what I'm thinking of.
He's going to be Darth Vader.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It's going to be James Earl Jones' voice, and it's going to be him with a mask on his head. The only reason they need him is they may need to, like, costume him up instead of being...
But it didn't even look good in the Darth Vader costume.
Because it was CG. It looked like a kid. Yeah, okay. It was completely CG'd when... Blame Lucas, because he got CGI, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to play around with this. And that's why the first three suck. So, practical effects, they just need his face. Like, I don't think he's going to be a major part of any of these movies. I just thought it was interesting to announce it. I just thought it was very interesting for him to announce it, that he'd be back for those two movies.
Are they bringing back Jake Lloyd too? Or is he locked up in a prison right now? The kid from the first one. Because he played Anakin too. But I guess they're only doing Darth Anakin. I guess. Never mind. So they're not going to go back that far, I guess. Yeah, I hate this shit so much.
No. I just want initial reactions. Don't overreact.
No, well, at least J.J. Abrams doesn't have to deal with that piece of shit.
Yeah, I know, right? And speaking of that, so excited.
J.J. Abrams is going to...
For episode 7.
We are so less excited. Than 3 months away.
I know, right? That's crazy to think about. Did you guys see the new footage? Too, or maybe not the new footage, but they released a somewhat updated clip where, pardon my ignorance, the black kid in the movie, I can't think of the actor's name, but you see him with Luke's lightsaber.
Anakin's
lightsaber. Oh, is it Anakin's lightsaber?
Mm.
So Luke has Anakin's lightsaber when he gets his hand lopped, and then
he loses it in... he loses Anakin's lightsaber in Sky City in Empire.
Yeah.
Empire.
Yeah, so that's... If you haven't seen the new clip, definitely go watch it. But if you've seen the old clips, it's when Kylo Ren busts out his lightsaber and it's got the two additional...
Wrist guards? Or
yeah, like little sprocket things on the side that had this huge debate. Stephen Colbert, in fact, detailed how it's a supreme advantage... So all you haters out there, go watch his clip. But yeah, so when he does that in the forest, cut to black kid womp with the blue lightsaber, and it's about to go down.
I have a feeling Kylo Ren finds that lightsaber too.
No,
I just have a feeling. I'm putting my money on it.
They show it being given to the girl,
right?
Daisy or something.
Han and Leia's kid. Or who they think is Han and Leia's kid.
They haven't announced that, but you can...
Well, my money, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Vegas odds are about 100 to 1 on that.
Yeah, exactly. She looks a lot like...
Or 1 to 100, what am I talking about? They're guaranteeing it.
Yeah.
Right.
1 to 100.
Yeah, she looks a lot like Carrie Fisher, we'll just say that.
Yeah.
But British.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're all excited. I'll probably walk out and take a piss break, though, when Hayden Christensen pops up in the second one. So, that's fine. It won't have anything to do with any of the plot that I give a shit about, because he was irrelevant.
Hayden Christensen, if you'd like to reach out to us...
Don't.
Take acting classes instead.
Shattered Glass. I will say, if you want to change your opinion on Hayden Christensen... Look up the movie Shattered Glass.
Shattered Glass, that's what I'm going to be used to cut my wrist while I'm watching the movie.
I'm just saying, just give it a try. It's better than Creep, as I think we've determined today that people only get two
out of five. All right, quick question. Hayden Christensen or Sofia Coppola?
Hayden Christensen.
Acting.
Oof.
I'm going to say Sofia, just namesake in relation.
Yeah. I would have to go with Sofia, too. So, I'd prefer to see Hayden in Star Wars than Sofia Coppola. So, I'm a little better about it now.
Wait.
So he's choosing Hayden. He wouldn't want to see Sofia.
I think Sofia Coppola is still a little
worse.
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking me to pick between dog shit or cat shit. there's no winning answer.
And on that note, we've been Pop Not Soda.
Tweet us what your choice would be, dog shit or cat shit.
Yes, let us know. And we will be sure to forward your answers to Hayden Christensen.
It's a Sofia Coppola.
So reach out to us on Twitter. Mr. Brian Owens at BOwens619. Brett at Niece's Pieces. Myself at Dan_Perez_. Or if you want to get in touch with any of us, our podcast account at Pop_NotSoda. Find us every Monday right here on either iTunes or popnotsoda.podbean.com. We will be back next week with episode 31 because we are officially over the hill.
Yep. It's over, guys.
And we got some guests coming up too, lined up. Walking Dead expert.
Yes, to kick off October.
Woo, baby.
You'll be looking forward to hearing Alyssa Root will be joining us, a zombie expert.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed? No.
I think I have proclaimed.
Yes, I didn't want to say that. I meant to say
Dan proclaimed.
Peer cloak.
Peer. Peer. Which proclaimed. I think that means just proclaimed when it's your peers.
She's a proclaimed zombie expert.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about
zombies. To kick off our first, that'll be our first October episode.
That'll be nice.
So we'll get into all of that. I think.
Aim for the head, guys.
We'll talk about
zombies,
The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. I think American Horror Story is going to premiere that week, too.
And we got a little trip up to L.A. coming up, too. So,
yes.
Stay tuned for that.
It's going to be scurry.
It'll be scurry. Probably scarier than Creep, Brian.
Yeah. I wish that could be a ride is just like me killing Mark Duplass' character in Creep.